You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're joined now by T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora from Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start with the weather here in the United States. I'm understanding that it's a pretty complicated mess.
That would be a great way to describe it. I would argue that it's one of the most complex patterns we've seen in recent memory. And it's not so complicated in that we don't understand what's going on. We do understand what's going on, but it's these little tiny small-scale features that really drive rainfall and thunderstorm activity throughout the Corn Belt that are really hard to figure out. So pretty much what's happening is we have a warm and tropical air mass in place. We all know that because we can step outside and feel it. Well, going on above us, we have a number of waves of energy and storm systems that are moving from west to east. So far, everything sounds pretty normal, and that typically would lead to thunderstorms. Well, it is going to lead to thunderstorms, but the reason the forecast is so difficult is because there's little small-scale systems within each large-scale system, and those smaller ones are the ones that really drive rainfall. Computer models were essentially made to analyze the big picture and then develop output that shows us where it may or may not rain, but they were never really designed to handle all these little tiny small systems. Well, there's a lot of them across the U.S. right now. We can count one in Indiana, one in Missouri, one in Nebraska, one in Texas. That's just looking at the weather map early this afternoon. And this type of pattern is going to last for about 7 to 10 more days. So in the end, what ends up happening is everybody sees rain. We'll see widespread coverage of above normal rainfall with at least 1 inch for all corn and soybean areas. That's the simple part of the forecast. The tricky part is who receives more. At this point, it looks like the western half of the Corn Belt and the eastern half of the plains will see the most rain. That will be along and west of the Mississippi River. And that's just because of all these systems that kick out into the Midwest. They all will, at some point or another, have to move across the plains and have to move into the western Corn Belt. So just from a probability standpoint, you have to put the heaviest rainfall there. And right now, we're going to see a pretty interesting setup here later on this afternoon and more so tonight. We should see one of the bigger systems move out of the Rockies and into the plains. That should cause widespread thunderstorm development to develop across the plains and then extend into the Corn Belt. So most corn and soybeans in Nebraska, Kansas, and points on to the east into Iowa and Missouri will see a pretty big rain once again tonight. Those may well extend into Illinois by tomorrow morning. But all in all, Todd, I mean, the big point here is that there's a lot of rain coming up. It won't rain everywhere every single day. And it's going to be really tricky to tell you exactly when or how it's going to rain more than 6 to 12 hours in advance. You just have to take it as it comes and tune into your weather forecast. I mean, this is a good example of why traders subscribe to a service like T-Storm. Basically, that's what we're doing. We're trying to figure it out as quickly as we can and tell people as soon as we know. There's sometimes a little bit of a lag between broadcast media or the internet and this type of weather pattern, and trying to figure out how it relates to corn and soybeans.
On that note, you were pretty good really early on getting a handle on what had happened in Brazil as it pertains to the safrinha or second crop corn. It'll soon begin to be harvested. What's your assessment of the damage there?
Well, that's a great question, and it's always difficult to say, but the only thing we know for sure is that it rained minimally across about 25% of their winter corn belt. This includes all of Goiás, the eastern third to half of Mato Grosso, and then surrounding areas of Minas Gerais and Bahia. That's a lot of corn that didn't see very much in the way of rainfall since about the end of March. So that's your problem area. You could easily argue that a problem area also surrounds this region, with corn being grown further to the west and south. And the reason we say that is because from late March through the end of April, it basically was hot and dry. So it was kind of the equivalent of having a wet spring, then a hot midsummer, and then it stayed hot in the north all the way until harvest season, so that's never good. But in these other areas where it's a little bit trickier to assess, they received some pretty big rains across the southern third or so of corn production, starting in the end of April and then lasting until basically a week ago. Some areas had over 10 inches of rain compared to normal rainfall of 4 inches. That's probably going to be what decides how big this corn crop or how small it is. Did that rain make a big difference once it began in the end of April in these areas that were kind of always on the edge of having a problem. We know there was a problem to the north. We know there probably was some problems in these other areas. But if the south part of Brazil, which is where most of this rain occurred, ended up having significant benefit from that, well, that might make the situation not as bad as it otherwise be. But if the heat and the dryness was problematic enough in April to cause significant yield damage and the rain arrived too late, well, then that, you know, won't be a good situation. But either way, we know there's crop losses there. It's just a matter of how big was it.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, you're welcome, Todd. Have a great day and always good talking to you.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.